You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Jim Donovan along with Matt Wilhelm on this Monday. We come to you from Browns headquarters here in Berea on Monday, July 6th, as the Browns right at the end of the month will be here in full force as they get ready for training camp. Matt, when you were a player right now and you had this time off before you had to report, did you work out or did you take time off?
You take a few days off, but as you mentioned about these coaches, you're a creature of habit as well. And you know, if I'm a bubble guy, I want to come in the best shape of my life to prove that in training camp and secure your roster spot. If you're a starter, especially if you're up there in age, you're doing what works for you specifically to prime your body. Like whatever Joe Thomas does is he's doing the same thing again. He's not going to overwork himself because of the grind and the number of snaps that he'll play this football season.
Now, you can call us at 216-578-0850, and we'll get you on the air. You can tweet at us, at Browns.
_ daily.
This is a whole new language.
That's all right.
This is a whole new language for me. We were talking about the preseason games, and we were talking about is it important to win in the preseason or at least play better in the preseason, fully protecting your starters, but achieving some sort of success to ride into the opening game. When you consider, and I give you the bad historical fact, that the Browns have only won one opening game since 1999 coming back. They beat the Ravens here. That was with Jeff Garcia and winning that game. That was under Butch Davis. That's a long time ago. I think it was 2004.
Yeah.
Right in there.
I think, you know, that to me is a message in itself to go into training camp if I'm Mike Pettine.
Right.
Just to say, hey, the first step is in New York, winning that season opener and continuing that momentum. Because I believe that if you can go to New York and win, you can come home and take two in a row with the Titans and Raiders before you head west.
So then Mike Pettine, if that happened and they were 3-0, suddenly he would climb up the NFL.com power rankings in the NFL. Right now, our guy, Mike Pettine, is ranked number 28 in the NFL. Now, let's go back to the night. I mentioned the night that they beat the Bengals last year, that Thursday night. And they're in first place in the division after they do that by themselves. He was not 28th in the league then.
No, sir.
He was a rising star in the NFL. I mean, people were talking
about this guy.
Mid-teens. Absolutely. They were talking about this guy as, wow, he waited his turn. He did a great job in Buffalo, did a good job in New York with Rex Ryan. He's a disciple of the Ryans, and now he's here, and he's waited. That great, great heritage. He played for his dad. He coached with his dad. He was in a movie with his dad. I mean, all of these things. I mean, this guy is a fast riser. And now he's 28th because the team finishes with, they lose five at the end? Five in a row.
Yes, five in a row.
At the end of the year. So the only guys behind Mike are basically the new first-year coaches, Dan Quinn.
Jim Thomasulu, Todd Bowles.
In San Francisco, Todd Bowles, who was here.
And Jay Gruden, who you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, Jay Gruden, who was going into his second year after a 4-12 year last year. So I disagree with it.
I disagree
with the rankings, but, you know, as Bill Parcells would say, you are what your record is, right?
You are what your record is. And I think
a lot of why he's 7-9.
And I think a lot of the reason why he's not 20-23 is because of the – it's still a popularity contest, I think. So this is one man's opinion and his power ranking. But you look at, you know, Ken Whisenhunt. You know, as a guy in Tennessee going into his second year there. Didn't do a whole lot, as a rookie head coach.
Not at all. But they were when did they draft? They were drafting.
They drafted number two.
Yeah, they were drafting
Marcus Mariota. So you look at Lovie Smith, they drafted number one. They were 2-14 last year, but he's ranked like number 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of this has to do with the popularity of the coach and what they've done in their career in the past. And I think for Mike Pettine being 28th, I don't agree with it, and I think it's a popularity contest. People still don't know who he is and what he's about, and that it's just a little premature to come out with this ranking for him at 28.
Belichick number one, Pete Carroll number two, And then you're into
John Harbaugh.
John Harbaugh. Then you're into Mike Tomlin's. You know, he is number six on the list. Marvin Lewis is 12 on the list. So these guys that have been around the AFC North, of course, and have had great success, all playoff teams, some Super Bowl teams, and a Super Bowl championship, too, for the Steelers and the Ravens. They're ranked very high. Don is in Ashland, and right now he's on Cleveland Browns Daily. Hi, Don.
Hey, how's it going, Mr. Donovan and Matt? How's it going?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Hey, I appreciate it. Appreciate you guys taking my call. I want to agree with you guys. I think the preseason is very important, especially for us. I mean, you're talking the team has been, has only had really one good season in 15 years, and that was back in, 07, 08?
They were 10-6, right.
To build a culture and build sustaining success, you have to be able to take small steps and small victories. And you've got to come into practice and mini camps and so on and so forth with that competition. And then you've got to go into the preseason. You got to take a look at that and say to yourself, you know, I got to get better. And winning games in preseason, I'm a competitor myself in everything that I do. And, I play some sports here and there. But being a competitive person, it feels so good when you get a win, and those things start to snowball. So when you're talking about a team for 15 years that has, for all intents and purposes, been irrelevant, you've got to take the small steps to be able to get to where you want to go, and preseason is one of those steps that you've got to build on.
All right, yes, John, well said. Thank you. Now, go ahead.
And to his point as well, I think if the four preseason games were worthless to the players – and to these owners, and I know there's little money in it for the owners, they would change it. It would go down to two, or they would extend training camp for some reason. So there was still value in the preseason, to allow those players to go out and play those games and compete is. And I know if you had Mike Pettine or Jim O'Neill or John DeFilippo sitting here, they would scratch and claw for every opportunity to evaluate this roster and to see their offense or to execute their defense, in that game setting to prep and prepare for week one.
See, I would think that for a guy like John DeFilippo coming in, first time running the show as an offensive coordinator, many years a coach, and a very, very important one, I mean, handling quarterbacks and being a quarterback coach, which is right there with an offensive coordinator, considering the importance of the position. But I would be so puzzled, and it seems as though you are really put on a very fast track in the first preseason game to not only get to see your number one offense, but to do it in 12 plays.
Yes.
Because typically when we sit down with the coaching staff before a preseason game and you have a production meeting with them and you're going to talk about, what do you want to see here? Well, I'll tell you what, we're probably going to play our starters 12 plays.
Yep.
Okay, that might be two series.
Right.
Or if you have one long drive, that might be it. And how do you really judge from that?
And that's my whole point is, for a guy like John DeFilippo, not only does he want to see his starters, he wants to see his offensive concepts in action.
Yeah, sure.
Whether it's Connor Shaw, Thad Lewis, Johnny, or Josh McCown, I got to see my offense so I know who and what we are offensively, because in shorts and helmets, you can't determine what that is. And as you mentioned, 12 plays is 1% of my offense.
And I think that's what they typically go with.
You're right.
In the first preseason.
Two series,
A little bit more in the second one, and then
three
beyond,
quarters.
Yeah,
three
beyond
quarters,
the half.
Two and a half to three quarters in the third.
In the third one. And then nothing in the fourth, okay?
Correct.
So, I mean, you're really down to just a precious amount of things that are going to be happening. Do you think it's going to change now? Is that why teams, the Browns included, are going to these combined workouts in camps? That used to be the norm.
It was.
Okay, and then everybody got away from it because there were a lot of injuries and fights.
Correct.
Right?
Yes, there were.
There were more fights than there were actual
plays. But it's one other opportunity against someone else.
Right.
So that just goes back to my point about coordinators and head coaches wanting it's evaluation, 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 and when you're only in pads, limited opportunities throughout training camp, and you basically go back to shells, it's hard to evaluate talent. You know, when you play the game in pads, it's easy to set people apart.
Right, and the Browns will do that this year. They'll go up to Rochester, and they'll practice against the Bills, and then come down a couple of days later and play the Bills here at First Energy Stadium, the home of the Browns. And this is the home of Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Jim Donovan, Matt Wilhelm with you on this Monday, a beautiful Monday here in Berea, and we're back with more after a timeout.